This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
3 weeks have passed since hundreds of Mexican military police descended on the towns of Texcoco and San Salvador Atenco in central Mexico. Details are still emerging on what happened to the people there during and after a two-day clash with police. The conflict began when flower vendors in Texcoco refused to be displaced by the local police from the area where they had traditionally come to sell their wares. As police presence increased, supporters arrived from the nearby town of Atenco and from other parts of Mexico. What followed was a two-day battle that resulted in injuries to many, the death of a teenage boy, and the arrest and detention of over 200 people. Felicitas Troya is a psychologist with the Collective Against Torture and Impunity in Mexico City. She is collecting the testimonies of many people who were detained by the police in Atenco and Texcoco. Good morning, Felicitas.
Hi, good morning. Nice to talk to you.
So some of the 207 people who were arrested have since been released on bail, but others are still in jail. How difficult has it been for you to collect the testimonies of these people on what happened to them while in police custody?
Well, it has been quite difficult because when they were still in jail, we were not allowed to go into prison and talk to them directly. So it was quite a difficulty to get the testimonies out. And once they were out, because of the fear they had and because of the threats they had received, many were very reluctant to give their testimonies. So now we are actually trying to build up confidence with them and try to make them write their testimonies and give them to us.
Of the people who were arrested on May 3rd and 4th, how many do you think were tortured during their detention?
Well, unfortunately, we have to say that we feel that all of them have been tortured. So we have a collective torture, let's say, in these days.
And as you're talking to people, what are some of the common threads that you're hearing from people who are telling you their stories?
Yeah, the analysis we have made from the testimonies we have been able to get so far is a very common design of the torture. Let's say all of them have received severe beatings with sticks, with weapons, with fists, with boots, and there were lots of threats against them, of killing them, of disappearing them, doing harm to the family. All of them were blindfolded when they were taken to prison. They were piled up one over the other, and they had to witness the torture and the beatings and all the violence against the others. And especially in the case of women, we have the testimonies of many women being raped by the police agents on their way to prison. They were raped also with objects. They were raped with fingers. And some of them have been obligated to have oral sex with up to three police agents. And all this in the same bus where loads of them were taken to prison. The women were the police agents were biting women in their breasts, in their lips, in their tongues, etc. And women also received beatings in their intimate parts, in their genitals. So we have very, very violent testimonies and very violent histories of what has happened to men and women during the way from detention to prison.
It's really horrible and shocking, and it's similar to things we've talked with you about before here on Red Eye. We've talked with you about your work to document and bring an end to the use of torture in Mexico in the past. Is what you're hearing from people who were in Atenco and Texcoco, is it different than the cases you've normally dealt with, or is it really similar?
Well, what we see there and what is shocking for us as well is the massive use of torture against so many people, because normally if people are detained, we have some people being tortured, but in this case, we actually see all of them have been tortured, and the brutality of the police is also somewhat shocking to us. Although the testimonies we get, we know that it's not something so special, because we have documented other cases of women being tortured by the police, and they have also talked about rape, about sexual torture, about beatings, etc. But I think what is new and what is so shocking is the brutality and the number of people being tortured, let's say, at the same time, at the same moment, by the same police forces.
Has the sheer number of cases then made it easier for people to speak out against this abuse and for their stories to be made public?
So, let's say it has been a little bit easier to make the cases public because it wasn't possible for the authorities not to talk about the case because it was so public because of all the situation. But I don't think it has been easier, especially not for the women to talk about. And that has to do with the kind of torture they received, because sexual torture is always something very difficult to talk about, and also because of the threats they have received, because even if they have been released from prison, they have been told very clearly during torture and also during their time in prison that they shouldn't talk about what they have experienced. So when we try to talk to the tortured people, to men and women, we realize that there is a lot of fear, a lot of terror, and many of the women are still thinking about if they want to speak publicly about what has happened to them and to put some legal charges against the police authorities.
So what has been the official response of the Vicente Fox government so far?
Well, in the first few days, they were denying everything that has happened and trying to do as if everything was normal. Then after some of the testimonies got public, it wasn't so easy anymore. So what they're trying to do now is, on the one hand, deny some of the testimonies, saying that, well, it wasn't rape, maybe it was some beating, maybe it was some sexual abuse, but there weren't so many rape cases. Or they are trying to say that it was a mistake from one or two of the police officers, but in general, they try to make clear to society that the police acted according to laws and that they were just reacting to the violence from the demonstrators.
And San Salvador Atenco is a place that's been a center of resistance for several years, and I'm thinking about the several years ago when the group People in Defense of the Land based in Atenco blocked the construction of a new airport there, and now they're directly involved in the Zapatistas' other campaign to build a grassroots movement in Mexico. Do you think that the government's use of torture, specifically in Atenco, is an attempt to send a message to those groups?
Yeah, definitely. This is always the case with a severe repression. The government wants to send a clear message, and I think in this case the message is: if people get organized, if they show solidarity with other groups, if they really manage to build something strong that is able to resist economic plans of the government, they want to show to people that the cost is very high. So they want to show them that it's very dangerous to do that, and they want to show also that finally government is deciding whether they allow public resistance or not. So this is a message directly to the organizations, but also to the society, because everyone in society should know that the authority is with government, and whoever wants to show opposition against government is in real danger.
So then what are groups like People in Defense of the Land and the groups that are aligned with the other campaign, what are they doing now in response to the repression in Atenco?
There have been a lot of public manifestations, demonstrations, blocking of highways. There is a permanent protest outside of the prison where people still are there 24 hours. And also some of the people are in hunger strike outside prison to show public pressure and to make government release the last prisoners inside. And some of the political prisoners in all the country have shown solidarity, and they have gone on a hunger strike as well. Maybe the most known case is the case of Gloria Arenas Agis, a famous and known political prisoner. She went on hunger strike. She is now 20 days on hunger strike. And this is in solidarity with the people from Atenco and with the detained and her demands are that people are released and that the government should let go the charges against them.
And in terms of your role, what are you and what is your organization and groups that you work with planning to do with the testimonies that you're collecting?
Well, the Collective Against Torture and Impunity is documenting all the cases we can get hold of, because the plan is to make a legal charge, to put a legal charge against the police and the military forces that were involved in the detention and in the torture. So we are trying to do this. We also give medical assistance and obviously psychological assistance to the victims and to their families. And we have quite some work in the community, because we have to fight against the fear and terror that is inside the community, so that they can take up again their organization process and take up their fight again. So that's what we plan to do. We definitely want to hold responsible all the involved police officers and also the directors of the police officers up to government, because the order obviously came from the highest authorities.
What can people do who are outside of Mexico and want to contribute to the support of the people in Atenco?
I think it's very important that we have international solidarity. There are quite a few actions in the different countries. There have been demonstrations in front of the Mexican embassies and consulates. There have been letters that were given to the consuls, to the ambassadors, where people try to pressure and to pressure for just court cases, for the release of the remaining prisoners, and also to pressure that independent lawyers and medical doctors and psychologists can go into prison to document the cases and give assistance. So whatever people can do to raise awareness in other countries is very important.
Well, thank you for talking with us, Felicitas.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on your program.
I've been speaking with Felicitas Troya of the Collective Against Torture and Impunity. There is also information on how to support the people of Atenco at the website narconews, narconews.com.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.